ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
गुरवे गुरुचन्द्राय राधिकायै च दालये कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः. कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गिराधा शिव सारे गौर भक्तवृन्द. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna always has his way. Sometimes devotees, they lament about Vrindavan, the condition of Vrindavan. For those of you like Malati Prabhu and others who first went to Vrindavan, I think she went first in 1969 or something maybe. For those of you who were there in very early days, I've seen the photos and the Parikrama Marga, it was quiet. And it was just dirt and it was so peaceful and there was forests and trees and everything. And today you go there and you feel a little bad. But think a little bit about it, first of all. Because Vrindavan appears and it disappears. At one time, I've seen on some old maps, the name of Vrindavan was Fakirpur. Because the Muslims were in control of everything, and they called it Fakirpur, the place of beggars, because there was a lot of sadhus who were living there. That was their name on the map for Vrindavan. And sometimes the Muslims are taking over, and sometimes Vrindavan's disappeared. Sometimes it's appeared. So we shouldn't feel sad when we see those things happen. Rather, we should feel more inspired that we have to go deep into the katha. We have to go deep. We have to collect these things in our hearts because these places will disappear. So I want to say something to you a little sad. Look around you in the walls here. These are some of the most wonderful. This is what Pattachitra painting. I wrote an article about Pattachitra some time back. This is what the original style paintings, which are known as Pattachitra, what they looked like a few hundred years ago. First class. And it's disappearing. By this time tomorrow, they may be white walls. And a few days later, it may be some other more contemporary kind of painting. And we feel sad for that. And we want to keep it. But you can't keep it. Just like sometimes at the end of a festival, this is a comment I often make at the end of a festival. We did this in Bhakti Sangam a few months ago, that when the festival's over, you feel like, let's just leave the decorations up, right? And let the festival continue. Anybody ever feel like that? You ever feel like, well, anyway, we're here on this parikrama, it's so wonderful, so let's not go home. Let's just stay here. And just do this the rest of our life, right? Does anybody like that idea? Raise your hand. It's a nice idea, isn't it? But I'm sorry to tell you something. It won't work. Because if you leave up the decorations for the festival, then it's no longer a festival. It becomes ordinary. It becomes the day-to-day course of things. So when the festival's over, we have to take the decorations down. Why do we do that? So the next festival we have, and we put them up, it's very special. We all go back to the West, and we continue with our preaching work, and we feel sad leaving the Dham and leaving the devotees and the deities and places here. But that's good. That kind of sadness is a healthy thing. Because then the next time we come, it's going to be very exciting, very wonderful. So look around you. See, I love this painting. I hear of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and this painting in the Sringadev. This is a first class. So this will be maybe the last chance you get to see it. You're very fortunate. Now when you come here 10 years from now and it's all whitewashed and another kind of painting, you can tell them, I remember what it was like a long time ago. I've seen pictures in the BBT, Chaitanya Charitamrita, first editions of Haridas Thakur's Samadhi, Siddha Bakul, Was anybody here? You remember that picture of where the first place we went, where they're doing a 24-hour kirtan, that used to be, there was no roof. It was a month. Anybody was there at that time? Paishesh Kabu? You saw that? It's a very special thing, isn't it? Very, very, very fortunate we got to see that. So let's remember that. Let's collect it in our hearts. And let's not feel sad. It's just the way the material world goes. There's appearance and there's disappearance, and that's the way things happen. And it's meant to churn our hearts. So this place is the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's fast turning into something else. anyway. this is the place when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the Jagannath Mandir. He had darshan of Lord Jagannath. And Mahaprabhu fainted in ecstasy. The pandas were going to beat him. And at that time, the pandit of Maharaj Prataparudra, whose name was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he came to that place. He came there and he saw this Mahatma. And he saw that there were all the symptoms on his body of divine ecstasy. And Sarvabhauma, he told the pandas, hey, don't beat him. Stop it. You take him to my house. And they brought him here to this place, maybe right where we're sitting here, I think very possible. And a little later, Gopinathacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita, and different devotees, they arrived at the Jagannath Mandir, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't there to be found. Said, hey, what happened? Did you see some effulgent sannyasi? Oh, they took him to Sarvabhauma's house. And so they came here from the Jagannath Mandir, and they found Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lying unconscious with foam coming out of his mouth. And what did they do? Very loudly, they gathered around him. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! They began to chant Hare Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally regained external consciousness. And there was some discussion that went on here. I'm not going to go so much at length in that. There are many pastimes which happened here. I'll just touch on a few of them. Because here in this place, we'd like these pastimes to appear in our heart. This is where these things happened. Here in this place, Gopinathacharya had a conversation with his cousin, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Gopinath was saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhagavan, that he's God. And Sarvabhauma said, you're just a young boy. You don't know anything. You don't know Shastra. Because in Kali, one of the names of the Lord is Triyuga. He only appears in three yugas. He doesn't appear in Kali Yuga. And there was some discussion. And Gopinathacharya, he's quoted Shastra again and again. He quoted Prahlad Maharaj. No, in Kali Yuga he comes, but he's Channa Avatar. He's a hidden incarnation. He doesn't come to be Bhagavan. He comes to be a devotee. And he quoted this verse, Atapite Deva Padambuja Dvaya, which Vaisheshikabhu was quoting the other day, that without the mercy of the Lord, you can't understand the Lord. We can't understand him. It's not just that I'm going to chant Hare Krishna and now I've got everything. I also need some blessing. I need blessings from the Vaishnavas. And therefore it said that Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam E Matra Chai. These two things go together. I don't just only chant Hare Krishna. I don't only do Sadhu Sangha. If I only do Sadhu Sangha, I'm not really chanting, I'm not really doing Sadhu Sangha. I should do Sadhu Sangha and chant Hare Krishna. If I'm only chanting Hare Krishna, I'm not doing Sadhu Sangha, I'm not really chanting. You have to be doing both things. And so to teach us this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is Brihaspati Avatar, he's the incarnation of Brihaspati. He knows all the books. He knows all the slokas. If you gather together and we're able to calculate how many slokas Madhava Maharaj knows, and Vaisheshikabhu and all the devotees in ISKCON put together, and he multiplied that by, I don't know, 100,000. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew a lot more. But he couldn't understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew Srimad Bhagavatam. He knew the books. He was living in Puri. He was a devotee of Jagannath, but he couldn't understand. Because atapi te deva padambujandvaya prasadale sanagrihite evahi. Unless you have that prasad, that mercy of the Lord. And what is the mercy of the Lord? Krishna Kripa Srimurti, Gurudev. Gurudev, the sadhu, he's the embodiment of the mercy of Krishna. Shastra is also mercy. And sadhu, he always tells you, a bona fide sadhu will tell you, read Shastra. And if you read Shastra, what does Shastra say? You have to have a sadhu. The two work together. We don't have one without the other. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was having one, but not the other. He was having so much Shastra vidhi, so much Shastric knowledge, but he didn't have the mercy of the devotees. So there was a conversation, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sat right here on this black square. This is his asan, which used to be a little raised up before they put these fancy modern tiles down on the ground. He sat right here in this place. And he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're a young sannyasi, and you don't come from a very high-class sannyas line. You come from a Bharati line. Let me give instruction to you. He was a very proud fellow. And he started giving instruction to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for 7 days, maybe right here where Ananda Murari Prabhu was sitting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting and listening to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya going on and on and on and on. And Mahaprabhu was just sitting there quietly. And finally Sarvabhauma says, hey, do you understand what I'm telling you? And Mahaprabhu said, well, I understand Vedanta Sutra. That's like the sun. He said, but what I don't understand is your explanations. Those are very confusing. Sarvabhauma became a little upset. What? You understand the sutra, but you don't understand the commentary? It should be the other way around, right? The commentary is what's easy to understand, but the sutra is not. And Mahaprabhu said, Vedanta Sutra is like the sun, but you're giving all these strange explanations. And Sarvabhauma said, well, you're a little proud, huh? You think you can do better? And Mahaprabhu said, I really don't know anything. Sarvabhauma said, you should tell me something. So then Mahaprabhu very humbly began to speak. And my Guru Maharaj spoke about this. This is the nature of a Vaishnav. When we're out preaching, we're very, Prabhupada said, you should be like a lion in the chase. But when we're back at home with other devotees, with other sadhus, we're quiet. And Mahaprabhu sat for 7 days. He didn't say anything until Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him, you please speak. And then finally he spoke. And when he spoke, ooh, it was like a bullet which pierced the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and smashed his pride. And here at this place, Mahaprabhu manifested his Sadbhuj form, his six-arm form before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma became a real believer after he saw that. And a few days later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this place. They say Sarvabhauma was staying in an upstairs room over here. Mahaprabhu came and said, where's that Sarvabhauma? He's upstairs. He's just getting up. Mahaprabhu went up to Sarvabhauma, was just climbing out of bed. And Mahaprabhu said, here, have some Jagannath Mahaprasad. You're not supposed to do that. You know, here in Jagannath Puri, you have to brush your teeth first, take a bath and do everything. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he just took it. Very good. And he ate that. Because he understood now that whatever mercy is coming from the Lord, I accept it. And I don't try to interpret that mercy through rules and regulations. I just accept whatever mercy is coming. I don't try to put limitations on it. Oh, this is a rule that, according to Vanashram Dharma, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm sorry, I can't take that mercy. I should accept the mercy. That happened here in this place. Here in this place, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya once came to Mahaprabhu and he said, you know, I've been thinking about this verse in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam and I think they made a mistake. Mahaprabhu said, what? Yeah, you know, the tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana eva mirkitam vipakam rigvita yomukti padesa bayabak. And Sarvabhauma said, this word mukti is not a good word. It should say bhakti padesa dayabak. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who's the greatest Mayavadi, he became changed. He became a different person by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu heard that, and inwardly Mahaprabhu was a little pleased. But he told him externally, you can't, don't change the Bhagavatam. And he said, in any way, Mukti Paday means Bhakti Paday. That Mukti, liberation, automatically includes Bhakti. The Bhagavatam is referring to Bhakti. Sarvabhauma said, oh, okay, all right, I accept. So many, many things happened in this house. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had a son-in-law, he had a daughter, and son-in-law who were living here, and his son-in-law's name was Amoga. And on one occasion, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come here and have prasadam. You please sit down, probably right in this room. They brought a nice plate for him. And then Sarvabhauma took a stick, and he was guarding the doorway. And Amoga came there, his son-in-law, and Sarvabhauma said, hey, probation is shade. You can't go inside. Not allowed. Said, what do you mean? Hey, stay out. And Amoga was standing there because Amoga was an envious person. And Sarvabhauma knew that. So then at one point, Sarvabhauma had to serve Mahaprabhu some more prasadam. At that time, Amoga slipped in. And he saw in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enough prasadam for probably 50 brahmacharis in the Denver temple. And Mahaprabhu and Amoga, he said, what is this? What kind of sannyasi is this? He's enjoying, he's not really a sannyasi. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard that, he said, I'm going to make Sachi, was it Sachi? His daughter, she's going to become a widow today. He took that stick and he went chasing after Amoga. And some of the devotees stopped him. No, don't do that. It's not cool. Don't make your daughter into a widow. He was going to kill him. He was so upset. This is a mood of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. This mood permeates the walls. When devotees, great devotees, do kirtan and katha in a certain place, their mood permeates the atmosphere. And we do tirthayatra because we want to come with our little bags and collect that mood and put it in the bag and take it back with us. And then we want to distribute that mood to other people. And this is our bhajan. This is why we want to come. Go to Amara Jai Sabastani. We want to go. Gora Amara Jai Sabastani Koralo Brahmana Range Se Sabastana Ke Ami Tasange. That I want to go to all those places of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, but I want to go there with pranayi bhaktas, with intimate devotees, not external people. We've all met so many external people. You're doing that on a regular basis. Good for you. You're helping them to become internal persons. You're going and distributing books. But if all you do is that, you may become a little dry. You need to come to these places. Go to Amara, where Mahaprabhu, my Mahaprabhu, where he came and wandered about. And you want to go there with intimate devotees and try to understand the mood of these places. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so angry with his son-in-law, he wanted to kill him because he criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, from this day on, Sachi, she's now a widow. And he declared, and Prabhupada writes in a purport, that if the husband is very fallen, then it's the duty of a good wife to divorce him. There's some scope for that. In some regards, it's not that a woman should just be abused and just live with some animalistic person forever and ever. So Prabhupada writes something like that in his purport. And later, we heard that Amoga, he got cholera. He became very, very sick. And the message came, the word came, that Amoga was dying. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see him. And he told Amoga, he said, Amoga, the heart of a Brahman is a very pure place. Why have you allowed, I have some hot water, it's good, thanks. Why have you allowed envy to dwell in your heart? The heart of a Brahman is a place for Krishna to reside. If we want to have a Vaishnava Sangha, if we want to establish Vrindavan villages all over the world, as Srila Prabhupada wanted, then we have to drive out the poison of Kaliya. Kaliya represents Bhaktivinoda Thakur's fault-finding and criticism. And Kavi Karnapur, he says that the Jamuna River represents the life of Braj. And he says in one place, he says that Ridrogam, the Jamuna River, had a heart disease. That heart disease was a criticism of Kaliya. That'll destroy our society. And we'll lose the mercy of the Vaishnavas. We'll lose the mercy of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and our Guru Janas. We'll lose whatever good fortune we've gained. So these are some lessons we should learn from this place. Many, many pastimes happened here with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Just about 5 feet behind me, there's a hole in the ground. It's an underground tunnel. I went inside of it some years ago, because they say that this is a tunnel that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going in every day to go to the Jagannath Mandir to have darshan of Jagannath, because so many crowds would follow him. So he'd sneak through in this way. So one friend of mine from Switzerland, we decided we want to go in this tunnel. We want to take the dust where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked. And so I spoke to our friend Balaram. He's a mahant here. And Balaram was a little frightened. He said, well, okay, you can go in. He said, but there's cobras in there. I said, okay. We were a little hesitant. We went inside, and I'm very happy to tell you there was no cobras. There were a lot of mosquitoes. They were probably almost as vicious as the cobras. And now it's just a little room under the ground, and it's full of sand. Apparently someone some years back filled it up with sand, and you can no longer go on that pathway. But this is Sarvabhauma's house, where Mahaprabhu was staying, where he was going to have darshan every day of Jagannath. And this is another place also. I have to evoke a particular name, because I want to speak a katha here, but if I don't evoke this name, then I won't be able to speak the katha. The name is Gita Priya. Okay? For those of you who know Gita Priya from San Jose, Gita Priya, we have a katha we do for her every year, especially for Gita Priya. But this year she's not here, so we're doing it in her name. And this is a special katha about a princess, because every little girl wants to be a princess, isn't it? So there was one young princess in West Bengal. Her name was Sachi Devi. And her father's name was Naresh Narayan. And he was a big king, big, big man. And Sachi Devi had all comforts. Wherever she would go, she didn't know what it felt like to have the sun fall on her body. She didn't know what it felt like to walk on the ground. She was carried everywhere in a palanquin. And they had an umbrella over her head. And she had like 10 different people just painting her fingernails and doing her hair and everything. She was pampered like anything. But Sachi Devi was a great devotee. And as a young girl, she was very, very intelligent. She learned Shastra very quickly. And she was never interested in boys. When she got a little older, like she was really old, like maybe 12 years old, the parents are getting disturbed. She's 12 years old and she's not married. This is very bad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's first wife, I think she was 5 when they got married. They used to have, we can't understand this. There's a phrase for it in the West now. When someone is culturally insensitive or something, is a particular nice phrase. It doesn't come to my mind. People in the West, they can't appreciate it. They hear about childhood marriage. They say, oh, this is very bad. This is backward. But they're culturally insensitive. They don't understand this other culture. It's a different culture. And just by the way, our ISKCON culture also is not that same culture. And the child marriage, although sometimes we've tried, I've seen it in our society sometimes, it doesn't work. Because we don't have that kind of culture. But it's not that it's bad. Anyway, get back to my story. Sachi Devi, her parents wanted to get her married. But Sachi Devi didn't want to get married. She just wanted Krishna. But they kept pressuring her. So she said, look, okay, all right, I'll get married. But I only get married if you find a boy who's never going to get old. If you find me a husband who'll never get old, I'll very happily marry him. Because Sachidevi, she only wanted Krishna. It was a pretty tough job to find. Her parents couldn't find her a boy who would never get old. So eventually the parents, they got old, they passed away. And Sachidevi became the queen of West Bengal. It was a good day, right? You'd like to become the queen? But Sachidevi thought, this is really bad. My Guru Maharaj, he was very happy. Prabhupada called him into his hut one day and he said, I want you to be in charge. I want you to be the manager. And Guru Maharaj said, Prabhupada, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to be the head, I want to be the tail. And Prabhupada said, I want you to be the head. And so he did that thing. But he told us, it's so much nicer just to be a quiet devotee. Vaisheshika was telling me yesterday, I would much rather just stay in one place and read the Bhagavatam and write books. I don't want to be a GBC in all this. But sometimes Guru and Krishna have some desire for us. And we do that. So Sachidevi, she thought, this is really bad. I become the queen. And everybody's coming and giving me so much respect. So Krishna says in the Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, I'll give intelligence to my devotee. So he gave intelligence to Sachidevi. One day she said, you know, she called for a minister. She said, you know, I've been reading the Ramayana. And Ramachandra, who's Mariyada Purushottam, the best of all the kings, he exemplified what it means to be a proper ruler. And so he disguised himself and he went out amongst the common people to listen to them, to hear what they have to say. So I'm going to do the same thing. And I'd like you ministers to be in charge for a few days. Now I'm just going to put on a disguise and I'll go out, hear what everybody's saying, and I'll come right back. Okay. So they agreed. Sachidevi put on a disguise. She slipped out of the palace and she immediately started running for Vrindavan. And she never looked back. And this way she managed to escape. And she came to Vrindavan Dham. And she was staying on the bank of the Jamuna. And she was looking for a sadhu, for guru. And someone told her about one great Mahatma, whose name was Haridas Goswami. And so she approached him. Maharaj, please, I'm very unfortunate. Please accept me as your disciple. Haridas Goswami looked at her. I heard about you. You're that princess, right? The queen, okay? I can't initiate you. I'm a beggar. You're a princess. You can't do any austerity. To be a disciple means you have to work hard. It means you should accept whatever Gurudev says with no hesitation. How can you become a disciple? Go away. She felt very, very sad. And so she was staying there on the bank of the Jamuna, and you may be very shocked to hear. She wasn't alone. There were so many different insects and things. Some of them were crawling in and living in her hair in different places. And she didn't have, it's very shocking. Sometimes we ask a question for ladies, can there be life without shampoo? No. Is there life without a hairbrush? No. Sachidevi had no hairbrush. She had no shampoo. She didn't even have a bar of soap. All she had to clean herself with was mud from the Jamuna. And that's what she used for her hair and everything also. So Haridas Goswami noticed that after a few days. He's pretty impressed. And he called for her and he said, look, I want you to do something for me. What is it? I want you to go door to door and beg. And Sachidevi was so happy. When Gurudev tells us that, I want you to go out and beg. Guru Maharaj, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, I would be better if you put me in charge of the temple. I'm an expert manager. I can give class. But begging, anybody can do that. I'm not good at that. But Sachidevi didn't say. She started crying. Thank you, Gurudev. And she started going and begging. What does it mean? She'd go to some doors, excuse me, sir. And say, hey, what are you doing? Get out of here. Go get a job. Go away. They would abuse her. And she just tolerated. And finally, Haridas Goswami was very pleased with her. And he initiated her. And later he told her, you go to Jagannath Puri and stay in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And there you'll find the Damodar Shila, the Shalagram Shila that was worshipped by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and I want you to stay there. So she came here. Nobody was here. Everything was falling apart. And she stayed here. She did that service for her guru. After some days, Ganga Sagara Mela came, the day that Ganga Devi appears in this world. And Sachi Devi, she had this desire, I'd really like it if I could go to Kolkata and take bath in the Ganga. But Gurudev told me to stay in Puri, so I'm staying here, I can't go. That night she had a dream. And Ganga Devi came to her and told her, I'm here in Sweta Ganga right in front of the house. Come take bath in my water. It was midnight. Sachi Devi went down to the water and she started taking bath. There's two different versions of the story what happened next. One version is that there's an underwater tunnel that goes in the Jagannath Mandir, and suddenly she got sucked into the drain or something, right? She got sucked into that tunnel and it pulled her all the way into the Jagannath Mandir. Second story, she was there, and you will see this Sweta Ganga in a few minutes. The water level is very low. It's like probably at least 100 feet below ground level. But when she got in the water, suddenly something happened, and the water started rising and rising until it overflooded, and then there was a wave, and Sachi Devi caught the wave. She became the first Hare Krishna surfer. And the wave carried her to the Jagannath Mandir, and very mysteriously the doors opened, and it deposited her in the temple, and the doors closed, and the water went away. Either way, how she came, we don't know. The next morning, when the pandas arrived there, they opened the door, and they found this lady there. Hey, what are you doing here? She's a thief. Arrest her. So they arrested Sachi Devi, and they put her in prison. That night, the king of Puri was taking rest, and he had a dream. And in his dream, he was very excited. He saw Lord Jagannath. Whoa! Wouldn't it be nice to have a dream of Lord Jagannath? And then he saw Lord Jagannath was coming toward him. And then he saw, wait a minute. He looks like really angry. I mean, he looks like Lord Nisringadev. And Lord Jagannath started yelling at him. Hut! Budmas! I'm going to kill you! I'm going to kill all of your family! You offended my devotee, Sachi Devi. And the king was shaking. Who's Sachi Devi? Huh? I don't know. Your men arrested her and put her in jail. Now you go and you release her from prison now. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Yes, yes, yes. Right away. And Jagannath told him, and one other thing. I want you to take initiation from her. Both you and the head priest. Yes, yes, sir. Right away, sir. So poor Sachi Devi's in that terrible prison with the rats and the cockroaches, which are about a foot and a half long each, suffering. And then all of a sudden some light came. It was blinding her eyes. What is this? And the door opened. And then suddenly she saw the king of Puri and the head priest. And oh my God, they're offering obeisances to her. And they said, we came to let you out. Jagannath told us to let you go. Really? Wow, that's amazing. Okay. So she was very happy. And they said, and one other thing also. Jagannath told us that you should give initiation to us. And Sachi Devi said, I don't do that. That's not my thing. No, no. You don't understand. Lord Jagannath told us, and if you don't, he said he's going to kill us. So you got to give us initiation. So Sachi Devi, she initiated the king of Puri, Rajmukunda Dev. And after that, she became known as Ganga Mata Goswamini. And here in Orissa, just as a little historical footnote, there are many lady gurus. I found in many places in India, even there's one friend of mine, Damodar Swarup Prabhu, his mother, she's a disciple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. She had about 300 disciples, male disciples, here in Orissa. It's not uncommon. It happens sometimes. And Ganga Mata Goswamini, such a very, very famous personality. So these are her deities here. They came all the way from Vrindavan. That's another story we don't have time for now. We just want to meditate something about the mood of Ganga Mata Goswamini. I'll finish with a little comment. When she initiated the king of Puri, the king offered, he told her, Guru Ma, now I want to give you so much property and things to maintain yourself. She said, no. My Gurudev told me I should beg. And she refused to accept any money or any property from her Guru Maharaj, from the king of Puri. Rather, she just stayed here for the rest of her life like a simple beggar. And although she looked like a beggar, like the poorest person, she was in fact the wealthiest person. That personality, Prema Dana Vina Vyarta Daraja Jivan Dasa Kori Veta Mori Deha Prema Dan. Here in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he prayed. He said, I'm not Daraja Jivan. Daraja Narayan. I'm Daraja Jivan. I'm not poor Narayan. I'm a poor soul because I don't have Krishna Prema. So please give me that Krishna Prema. And the only, please give me service. And the only payment that I want for that service is this Krishna Prema. So we'll stop there. I think our time's a little over. Do we have time for any comments or questions? Maybe not. Okay, so we're going to go back now. We're going to walk back, and on the way, hey, Shraddha, are we going to have a picture first? Is that happening or not? Hello? Shraddha. Yeah, it's 1 o'clock now. So are we going to have a group picture or not here? We can do it somewhere else. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so it's a little bit late. We're going to walk back to the streets of Jagannath Puri, and I have a small meditation I want to give you from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking throughout all over Puri, on all the streets, chanting japa. Some of us are going to chant japa on the way back. And in front of him, some devotees were carrying a tulsi plant. So the same pathways that we're walking, Mahaprabhu was also walking 500 years ago and chanting japa. So we'll stop there. If any devotees... Oh, okay. Vaisheshika...
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman. Hey! Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.